Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. All right, it's time for our Tennessee Titans offseason, quote-unquote, all-stars. Players who were hyped up in the offseason and amounted to absolutely nothing for the Tennessee Titans. The text line is already flooded with suggestions and submissions, and we will get to them. You can call us. You can text us 615-737-1025. And gentlemen, if you don't mind, I would like to submit my first candidate for the Tennessee Titans, quote-unquote, all-star list. And this one is near and dear to my heart because we share a hometown, Virginia Beach, Virginia. And that guy is Justin Hunter. Justin Hunter is my first submission for the Tennessee Titans offseason all-stars. He was drafted in the second round, number 34 overall in 2013. And gentlemen, there is something about Justin Hunter that multiplies the hype surrounding him to the nth degree. What is it?
They traded up to get him, number one.
There's
he
that.
At the University of Tennessee.
Bingo.
Ball for life.
Bingo. He went to Tennessee. If you go to Tennessee and you play for the Tennessee Titans, that multiplies the hype to the absolute extreme. So Justin Hunter, by the way, in his final season with the Volunteers, 73 catches, 1,083 yards, and 9 touchdowns. Over 3 seasons with the Titans, 13 starts in 35 games, a total of 1,116 yards over 3 seasons. He also, leading to the hype, ran a 4.44 40 at the combine. So Justin Hunter is my first submission to the Tennessee Titans offseason, quote-unquote, all-stars. I also do have a somewhat humorous story as it relates to Justin Hunter. So July 2015, you may remember that Hunter was arrested and charged with felonious assault in Virginia Beach for a fight that he had at a bar near the beach. And I happened to be on vacation. I had just moved to Nashville. I had been living there for 3-4 months, but I took a week off from the Tennessean and went home to Virginia Beach. And just as I was getting ready to go home, I get a call from my editor saying, "Hey, can you stay in Virginia Beach and report out this story about Justin Hunter being arrested?" And I was just like, "Justin Hunter's not that good. Why do we care?" But I ended up having to go to the bar and interview people at the bar, and I requested security cam footage from the city of Virginia Beach. And ultimately, the charge was reduced, and then he was found not guilty, and then he was cut, or he was traded. I don't remember which one it was. But Justin Hunter, absolutely my first submission. Your thoughts on Justin Hunter on this list, Derek Mason?
I think they also had soured on him by then, too.
Yeah.
And I remember a story. It was Van Jefferson's dad. I forget. What was the wide receiver's coach, Van Jefferson's
Sean
dad?
Sean Jefferson.
John Jefferson. He was a really good receiver in the NFL for a long time. I believe if I've got the details right, I may be off a little bit, but Sean Jefferson had the equipment guys, and you know them all real well, D-Base. They had him. They put on the back of his jersey, instead of Hunter, it said Jag, J-A-G. Because he was trying to motivate him and say, you know what, you're just a guy, J-A-G.
Just another guy.
Mm-hmm.
You're just another guy. Just a guy. You got to work harder. You got to be better. And you're not there. And, you know, I know you were, you know, Mr. Special. Everybody was special. It was that message, right? There was a whole article or two written about that. And it was like, oh, boy, the hype is starting to get a little too much here for the production.
Yeah, I just think Justin Hunter, I wasn't high on him when he came out of college. A lot of people were, because he was 6'3", 6'4", ran a 4.43 or 4.4 flat.
It was a 4.44. Yeah, I looked it up 4-4 last
4-4
night.
4.4 flat. I mean, he could jump out the gym. But to me, he never was a well-rounded wide receiver, so I wasn't that high on him. But here's a name. Here's another name in a wide receiver category. And it seems like we just keep talking about wide receivers. But Racy McMath.
That is so
Racy
good.
McMahon.
Now, to be fair, wide receivers, no disrespect, Derek, wide receivers are prone to be hyped up quite a bit.
I get it. No but, question. Man, he was a six-round draft pick. I know he came from LSU, and this is all the while you have Jefferson, Chase, all those guys coming out. And Racy McMahon he's just another guy in the long line of really good receivers that have come out of LSU, and he just never – there was so much – he just never amounted to anything.
That's a great one.
Willie,
there is something about the wide receivers because there's a lot of them.
Yes.
You're watching them a lot at these practices because, you know, they throw a lot of passes at practice. You're watching to see who catches it. And in those off-season practices or the training camp practices, you can have a few days you look really good. And because of the thirst, I would say, to find wide receivers who are homegrown, developed, drafted by the Titans who produce, there's such a short list. So I think if that all combined, you've got the long list. I'll give you one from my annals that I selected. Yesterday we mentioned Paul Williams and Mike Williams, who were not brothers, not related at all, but they were Mike Reinfeldt, who was the successor to Floyd Reese. He would talk about these guys every week on the show. Oh, yeah, they're doing great. We're like, when the season starts, where are they? They're not even in the lineup. They're the healthy scratches, you know, those kind of things. But here's one in the category of they thought they had a sleeper. Fourth-round pick. The 2008 draft. Lavelle Hawkins from California, University of California.
Yes, Lavelle.
Every year. And he was with the team for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
In his first 3 years, he caught 19 passes combined. But I swear, for 3 years.
Yeah,
he was that guy. Lavelle Hawkins, he's right on the cusp. Yeah. He's doing it. He's going to really explode. He's got the tools. He had a great personality. He was a hard worker.
Oh, he was a good kid. He worked hard and everything.
Yeah.
It just never worked out. Yeah. Taywan Taylor is another good one.
from Western Kentucky.
We could do this entire segment on receivers.
Yes.
I will drop in one running back that because I want to get Mahoney some credit on this because he nailed. I hadn't thought of this guy in a few years, but this will resonate. Darrington Evans.
Yeah.
Running back. Another guy that they thought was the perfect complement. I think when Derrick Henry's around, I've lost track.
Out of Appalachian State, if I recall correctly.
And a pretty high pick, right? What year was that? Let's see.
Darrington Evans was drafted in the third round in 2020, 93rd overall.
Whew, that's
and
high.
He barely got on the field.
He played 6 games for the Titans. He appeared in 6 games over 2 seasons.
You heard all about him. But he never got on the field. And we mentioned Bishop Sankey yesterday. I think he would be – Bishop Sankey at least got on the field a little bit more.
We'll get back to Bishop Sankey in a second. But Wes from Hermitage on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, wants in on this. Wes, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
All right, guys. There's no pickles today.
Thankfully.
So that's good. I'm going to go feather ruffling today. I'm going to make some people mad with what I say. And y'all may not agree with me. And I stand on this. Legarius Sneed.
That is an interesting one. Thank you, Wes. That is an interesting one just because of, for me.
But he had done it. Like he had been.
Right.
He had established himself as a high-level player.
I understand where Wes is coming from.
He's missed expectations.
Yes.
I totally get that.
Yes. I understand where Wes is coming from. When I was thinking about this, I was thinking about players who hadn't backed it up the way that Legarius Sneed did in Kansas City. I know it has not worked out here at all. But I'm thinking more of players who came in with this tremendous amount of hype who hadn't proven it at the NFL level yet. They were usually rookies or second-year players. So you mentioned Bishop Sankey. Bishop Sankey was my second submission for this. Bishop Sankey drafted in the second round, number 54 overall in 2014. By the way, the first running back selected in the 2014 NFL draft, which was a record weight for running backs. I'm not sure if that still holds. It's been more than 10 years. But at the time, that was the longest a running back had gone before being selected in the NFL draft. Get these numbers from his final season at Washington. He ran for 1,870 yards and 20 touchdowns at Washington his junior season. And remember, that was the summer that the Titans moved on from Chris Johnson. So people thought, hey, Bishop Sankey, big-time player, he can fill in for Chris Johnson. Did not happen. Bishop Sankey in his career, I got to pull up his career numbers here. They were not impressive. I just remember at one point when I was at the Tennessean writing a story about Bishop Sankey, like, is this his last chance? And indeed it was. In two years, he started 12 games. He played 29, started 12. He ran for a total of 762 yards and 3 touchdowns over 2 seasons. And he never made an impact for any other team. I think he may have floated around the league, maybe been on some practice squads. But in terms of actual on-the-field statistics, 2014, 2015 with the Titans, that's it. Never heard from again. Bishop Sankey.
Oh, wow. That's a good one. That is a good one. Let's see what our listeners have to say.
Oh, I really
because I can go down this list.
Oh, we can keep going.
Here is one that has appeared.
You know, there's this theme, right, that happens at this time of the year. The media people too, the people who write the article of, hey, keep your eye on so and so. It's, you know, the beat writers, they got to come up with stuff, right? So they're, and then the sports talk show hosts, like all of us, we want to be able to say, I told you about Lavelle Hawkins. I told you he was on the verge of greatness, and I was the first one to tell you, right? And we're wrong more than we're right.
All right, so a popular choice on the text line is Tyrone Calico.
Wow. Okay, we touched on him yesterday, but you have mixed feelings about that. Either.
Yes, I do, because Tyrone, he was raw coming out of MTSU. Hell of an athlete, can run, jump, everything.
From Millington Central High School.
Yeah, so he still had a lot that was there. And he started to show it. Now, he started to develop, his hands started to develop more because he used to drop a lot of balls early on in practice. And he started to get better, but not to a point where, you know, we counted on him to he was more like a 50-50 catcher. But when he would get the ball in his hands, I mean, this kid was outstanding. He got hurt against the Chargers. We were
out.
I think it was Dallas.
What? I think it was Dallas because there was something about that. Because here's what I remember, D-Mace. You tell me if this is right.
I know he was running toward outside the sideline, and they grabbed him by the horse collar.
Yes, and that's what I was going to say. I think it was Roy Williams of Dallas. I could be wrong. Maybe somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm visualizing it because Roy Williams did the horse collar and Tyrone Calico was never the same. But
it was Roy Williams.
There was no such thing as the horse collar by rule. So I think he was one of the on the forefront of creating the horse collar penalty, unfortunately for Tyrone.
So I don't see Tyrone as because he was. I think he would have been a good receiver in this league. But, and I think he had knee problems anyway when he came out of college. I think he had a knee surgery or something, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. But he did seem like he would be a guy that would be able to mature and develop into a good receiver. But he ended up getting hurt. So it's hard for me to say Tyrone Calico. Man, it's hard for me to put him in that box.
What about Kenny Britt?
No, because Kenny Britt was, he should have gave you more. You hoped he would have given you more. He did give you something, but you were just hoping for more with Kenny Britt.
Willie, I know you have some other ones. We discussed this yesterday. Who are some of your other submissions for the Tennessee Titans, quote-unquote, offseason all-stars?
Well, I wanted to leave it for some other. I want to hear some from the others.
Okay.
615-737-1025. The couple that I mentioned yesterday, the Williams brothers, I don't think I can emphasize enough. Mike Williams especially Paul Williams was an unknown guy that none of us had ever heard of in college, but we just kept hearing his name. Hey, this guy's awesome in practice. You watch. In a couple years, we're going to develop this guy. And I don't know if he ever got on the field for a regular season game. Mike Williams was different. Mike Williams was a star at USC. And there were a lot of articles written. He might be the poster child of the absolute story of the offseason who did zero in the regular season. I don't know if you guys – wasn't there something – I'm trying to jar my memory. he challenged the NCAA on something, being able to go pro before he was eligible. I think he wanted to go pro after his freshman year or something like that. You can maybe look this up, Adam. Mike Williams, USC. But because didn't Claret try to do this? Was around the same time where they were sort of challenging
Maurice
that you
Claret,
had to stay 3 years in college. Why do I have to stay 3 years in college? I'm ready. Mike Williams, I think, was that guy. And people in the league were like, good luck, buddy, but maybe you should stay a little longer. You may not be that good. And then by the time he got to the Titans, he was just looking for a job, but he was trying to revive his stock. And they thought they had something, right? But it did not happen.
One other, so we just received back-to-back texts for Dorial Green-Beckham, who we have already covered, but Dorial Green-Beckham is an excellent choice. Here is another popular choice, running back Chris Henry.
See, I wasn't here.
Chris Henry, a huge, great
answer.
Drafted
Chris Henry, I wasn't here, so. So Willie could speak on
Willie
that
can
more.
Speak on that because Derek and I were not here for that.
That was another guy. I forget what year that was. That might have been a Mike Reinfeld era. Post Floyd Reese.
That was 07.
Yes, that was right after Floyd Reese. And they thought they had, he was a second round pick.
Yep,
he
50th was overall classic, in 2007.
He was a classic guy that in the workouts, in shorts, right? In the combine, he was a master. He graded extremely high in those things. But when it came time for the game, he didn't have the vision. Like, he had all the tools. He had the speed. He had all the strength and everything, but he just didn't have the feel in the game. And so he never did anything. But he was the most impressive guy in shorts and a T-shirt that the Titans had had. Like, tons of hype, for sure.
615.
Workout warrior.
615-737-1025. Excellent submission so far. We encourage your participation for our Tennessee Titans offseason quote-unquote all-stars list. Who were the players who were hyped up in the offseason and amounted to absolutely nothing for the Tennessee Titans? Who fooled you? Because we've all been fooled. 615-737-1025. We will get back to your reaction coming up next. But before we do, the PFL World Championship semifinals are Thursday, June 12th at Municipal Auditorium, and you can be there. Text in the keyword match, M-A-T-C-H, to 615-737-1025 now to be entered to win a pair of VIP ringside tickets. Visit PFLMMA.com/schedule for more details. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, continuing our conversation. Tennessee Titans offseason, quote-unquote, all-stars. Players who were hyped up in the offseason and amounted to absolutely nothing for the Tennessee Titans. A lot of submissions on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I thought this one was funny from an unnamed texter. Tyrone Calico, the original Lavelle Hawkins.
Hey, Willie, how about Cody Sisabaugh? Oh, Willie's not there? Okay. How about Cody Sensabaugh?
I don't remember.
You don't remember Cody. It
no.
Was 2000, I think it was 2012. Yeah, he was defensive back out of Clemson, and he had all the measurables that you would want. And you would be hyped about him during the preseason, and then he get into the season, and you don't see anything from him. I think he ended up starting a few games for the Titans this first couple years. Now, 15, he started every game but one, and he just didn't – it wasn't enough to keep him here in Nashville. So I think every year it was like, oh, Cody Sisabaugh, and he never amounted to what they wanted him to.
Matthew in Nashville says, Sean Green –
The running back.
Now,
yes.
He had a couple of 1,000-yard seasons with the New York Jets before signing with the Titans, but he amounted to nothing with the Titans in two seasons, a total of 687 rushing yards over two seasons with the Tennessee Titans. See, that one's on the borderline because, like the caller who mentioned L'Jarius Sneed, at least Sean Green had some proof of concept. Mm-hmm. He did run for 1,000 yards twice in the NFL. Again, like, everybody can do this differently. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking more of players who were younger, who were drafted high, who came in with a lot of hype. Again, my submissions were Justin Hunter and Bishop Sankey, both of whom were second-round picks. Mm-hmm. Bishop Sankey thought to be the successor to Chris Johnson. Justin Hunter, as I said, went to Tennessee. So that multiplies the hype by a million. And neither of them panned out. One texter says, Adoree Jackson. I think Adoree Jackson is a solid submission.
Yeah, it all depends on. I mean, his career here was up and down, more down than up. I thought he never reached, at least the guy that I saw in college. This guy was playing, you know, he was returning punts, kickoffs. I mean, he was the best DB they had, one of the best in the country. I mean, this dude was, he was doing things that you just thought would translate to the NFL. And when he got here, it was just he never was able to catch on, ever. So, and he played a lot, but he just never was what everyone thought he would be.
One texter says, Eddie Berlin.
Okay, in what sense?
This was before my time.
Yeah, because Eddie Berlin, I think, was a fifth-round pick, maybe. I think he was a fifth-round pick, if I'm not sure. Either second, fourth-round pick, or
Eddie
fifth
Berlin
round
was
pick.
A fifth-round pick in 2001.
Yeah, so it wasn't because people were looking more so at Justin McCarron, who also came in that class, and he was drafted a round before Eddie. They were looking at him more so than Eddie Berlin. I think Eddie was once I stopped doing punt return, kickoff return duty, Eddie Berlin was supposed to be that guy. And it never, I mean, he fumbled a few times and he could never really grab hold of that that return position the way they wanted him to. So, but if you're talking about a receiver, no, I always thought they had Justin McCarron before him, and Justin played well.
Willie, Derek suggested Cody Sensabaugh while you were away. Your thoughts on Cody Sensabaugh?
I had not thought of that name in a long time. But Eddie Berlin and another guy named Jake Schifino were also in that category of mid-round picks that there was a lot of optimism for.
There was a lot of optimism for Jake Schifino.
A lot of optimism. And you're like, really? Like, neither one of those guys were household names in college. Not like a Justin Hunter, right, who everybody around here saw. They were like, oh, here's a name I haven't heard. That man, people are talking about this guy. What are we going to see? And it just never panned out. Schifino, you can speak to this, D-Base. He had a lot of injury problems, too.
Yeah, he just can never. I mean, you would see him in practice and camp. This dude, I mean, he caught everything. He had some of the best set of hands that I'd seen. He caught everything. He knew how to run routes. He knew how to manipulate DBs. He just could never put it all together on the field when he had to. And then he ended up getting hurt all the time. Something was always nagging him. Something was always wrong with him. But he had talent and everybody saw it. So I think that's why everybody was so high on him.
Another popular submission. And this one may hit a little hard. Treylon Burks. Treylon Burks may be the perfect example of this. Just because of he was a first-round pick. He was a first-round pick acquired for A.J. Brown. He hasn't been able to stay on the field. When he has been on the field, he hasn't been impactful. I think Treylon Burks, we'll see how long he stays on the Tennessee Titans. But if and when that day comes, when Burks is no longer on the team, I think he may be a first-team Tennessee Titans offseason All-Star. Although, I do remember looking at a lot of pollen reports a couple of years ago.
Oh, yes.
Is his asthma going to kick in? What's the asthma like in Nashville versus in Arkansas?
I think there are several chapters to the Treylon Burks, and I think, unfortunately, we're getting to the last chapter of the book, which is not a happy ending. But, of course, the very first chapter is, this is the guy they got for AJ, right?
Yes.
that's the title of the book. The guy we got for AJ. And it's a sad story. But so the offseason hype was first, hey, let's see what this guy is. Hey, they drafted this guy. This is the guy we got for AJ. And he can't get on the field because of the pollen and the asthma that was one section. And the next section, I think what really hits the groove of this topic was his season offseason between his first year and his second year.
Yes.
Because that's when you really started here. Man, this guy's catching everything. Man, this guy is, he's ready now. It's going to happen. He's learned what he's got to do. The asthma's behind him. And now we know what happened.
There was the story that Paul Kaharsky reported about how his flight was going to be canceled to practice or training camp. I can't remember which time of the year it was.
Basically, I'm a crop duster.
And he took the prop plane. He found someone who could fly him personally to Nashville.
He was dedicated, man. But again, like Jake Schifino, it seems like injuries is going to be a big part of why Treylon hasn't been able to, you know, reach whatever potential they thought he had. Because, you know, you saw flashes of it, and then he goes down. You see another flash, then he goes down. Yep. Then he's gone, period. So, yeah, he may end up being the captain of the All-Star team.
I actually do have a couple of submissions for captain on our text line. One texter says, Chance Warmack.
I was just thinking Chance Warmack. Oh, my goodness.
And he was a great personality.
Yeah,
he was
a good person.
All the radio interviews, such an engaging guy to talk to. And you rooted for him. Remember, he used to make fun of his beer belly, you know, the line. He used to let it hang out during practice. You know, you just thought, hey, this is a great personality. He's going to make it. And, man.
10th overall pick.
Yes.
Alabama.
Mike Munchak special, right? Mike Munchak was the offensive line coach when D. Mace was playing. He had ascended to head coaching. He was famous for picking out the later round picks, like the Michael Ruse and the Big Country Stewart, right? He had an eye. And he's like, finally, I get to draft an offensive lineman in the first round. And this is my guy. And it just did not go well.
Yeah, he played 68 games in his career. He started three full seasons for the Titans. He missed two games due to injury in 2015. But prior to that, he played all of 13, all of 14, missed two games in 16. And then, 15 and then 16, he only played two games with the Titans. I think he may have gotten injured that year too, because the next following year he was in Philly.
So. Super Bowl champion Chance Warmack. Yeah. Who did he win a Super Bowl with?
Philly.
Ah.
Yeah, he won it in 2017 or 18, whenever they won it that year.
Another popular submission, but actually before we get to those, the other candidate for captain, Kevin Dodd. On our text line.
Ooh, yes.
Ooh,
yes.
Out of Clemson, early second-round pick.
Second-rounder.
Same second-round as Derrick Henry, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Didn't show up to OTAs, made Mike Vrabel mad.
Kevin Dodd.
As Darren McFarland used to call him all the time, Kevin Dodd.
Clever. Very clever.
Wow, some names, man. I don't know if that's good or bad for this organization. That we are just coming up with all these names.
I bet if you went to any other market,
I'm
and
sure
they did
the
same
they
exercise.
Same
guys.
I'm sure
it's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
The first of the NFL. It's the hope of the offseason.
Yes.
Yeah, our team is going to have a couple of guys that you've never heard of that are going to become stars.
I mean, I'll tell you, as I said, I think that this year's candidate is Xavier Restrepo. Mm. Remember, I warned all of you, don't get sucked into the slickly produced 10-second videos that the Titans are going to put out there. And then during rookie minicamp, there was the pass from Cam Ward, slow motion spiral right to Xavier Restrepo in stride, and a Titans fan quote tweeted it, and I don't know if he was joking or not. I'm going to assume he wasn't. Xavier Restrepo, 1,000-yard season incoming. Based off of that 10-second video.
I love it.
Restrepo, it's absolutely incoming. Going to be Restrepo. Okay. Another couple from Matthew in Nashville. Antonio Andrews and Darius Renaud.
Renaud. Yeah. And he had a couple of moments. He had a couple of flashes. He
was their returner, right?
He was a return man.
Uh-huh.
And he could he had a couple of big ones. But
yes,
he also
he did.
Had I think the very first game. This is another jogging the memory. I think I've got this right. He was the return man. And maybe it was the first one of the year. If it wasn't, it was the second. is against the Steelers, and they won the game. But he bobbled the first kickoff, and it got a safety.
That's not a good way to start a season.
Not a good way to start the season. He was very much feast or famine.
Yeah.
He did have a couple of big returns. He was pretty good. But, yeah, I was the hype guy on him. I was like, he's really good. Man, he looks good. Like the preseason games, he looked really, really talented.
One other submission from me. He is still on the team, and I imagine he'll be a preseason all-star again this season. Julius Chestnut. There was one year where Julius Chestnut, I want to say, led the league in the preseason in rushing yards. He averaged 6 yards. He averaged 6 rushing yards. Is that 6 yards a carry? If I'm reading this right?
Oh, probably. I think he busted some big ones in those games.
But is it his fault that...
It's not. No,
yeah, it's
not
like you were running behind Derrick Henry at one point.
Yeah.
And then now he's sort of stuck as the third guy.
Yeah.
Well, this is a slice. Mm. This is a slice of this category. And that would be running backs who get in the late parts of the preseason games in the uniforms, the games televised, and they come up with big yards against the other team's subs, right? They're D-Mace and the starters are. They got the baseball hats on. The pads are off. They're not playing. And we're watching these games. We got to get through it. It's August. Everybody's excited for the season to start. So you're watching these games that don't mean anything. George mentioned David Flewellen. Huge producer in preseason games. I would love to see the list of yards, the history of Titans preseason games, running back yards. Right? Because those are the guys that have the records because they get the ball the most. So you got him. You got David Flewellen. You got Quinton Ganther was another one that would come in there. Mike, another teammate of yours, Mike Archie. Remember
oh,
him?
Yeah, I D-Mace? Remember Mike. But Mike played
pretty good
a few years.
Pretty
yeah, pretty good player. But he was stuck in, you know, behind Eddie. Yeah. And then it was Eddie and who was the backup when he first got
Rodney.
Here? Yeah, Rodney Thomas.
Rodney Thomas.
And then
Rodney
it was
Thomas.
Eddie.
Yeah.
And they went and got the guy that played for Holcomb, Robert Holcomb.
Robert Holcomb.
Yeah.
Now, he was a pretty good backup guy.
Yes.
He was solid.
I have found a highlight of David Flewellen rushing for 53 yards in week 2 of the preseason.
Boom. Julius Chestnut is the current day David Flewellen.
Oh, man.
No doubt about it.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your submissions on our Tennessee Titans offseason, quote-unquote, all-stars. Which players fooled you? Which players who were so hyped up in the offseason, you were so excited about them, you were certain they were going to make an impact for the Tennessee Titans, and they amounted to absolutely nothing. 615-737-1025. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, the game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Dunnick, 1025, 1063, the game. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan with you. Matt from Bellevue is on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. He has a submission for our Titans offseason all-star quote-unquote list. Matt, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
What's up, fellas? What's up, D-Mace?
What's going on?
Hey, I got a dandy for you. What about the linebacker we drafted out of Alabama, looked the part,
yes.
Absolute pedigree. I can't even remember his name. The guy I called in, he remembered it.
Rashad Evans.
Yeah, Rashad Evans.
Yeah.
Rashad Evans.
Another great
personality.
It hurt my heart because he looked the part.
Yeah, he spent, what, five?
Thank you for the call, Matt.
How many seasons did he spend here?
I think he was one of those guys that they decided not
three,
to give
four
the fifth-year option to.
Yeah.
So four
seasons, yeah.
Didn't give him the fifth.
Mm-hmm.
And, they moved on. He was out there. They were waiting for, the light to go on. He just never was great.
Yeah, he didn't miss. Well, the last season, he played 12 games, started 11. But prior to that, 20, he played all 16 and started all 16. 19, the same. 18 is when he got drafted. He played in 15 games and started 7. So you just thought that, he would be able to develop into a really good linebacker, and it just didn't happen.
A popular submission on our text line, Willie, Ben Troop.
Ooh,
Ben Troop, we mentioned yesterday,
yes,
right? He was a guy. There was a season, and I don't remember the year, I want to say maybe 2003. D-Mace was there.
Mm-hmm.
The Titans did not have a first-round pick. They had traded it, But they had a bunch of second round picks, and Troop was one of the second round picks. I think Travis LeBoy was one.
Troop was that 04 draft.
04, that's what it was. 04, and
I was with Ben a year.
Flash. He could flash right and really look athletic. Mm-hmm. And like, wow, this guy's got it. But he never could put it together on the field. I think Ben Troop is good. And Ben has become a sports talk show guy somewhere. Yeah. We've had him on our show a few times. He's really good at what he does. I forget where he's based out of. It's been a few years since we've had him on.
Florida. But it may be somewhere in Florida. But, I mean, you look at his rookie year, because that was 04, and he did okay as a rookie. Started 7 games, played all 14. A lot of it was special teams too, but he was the second or third tight end. He had over 300 yards and a touchdown. So you just thought, okay, looking at that, you saw he had something in him. He had the talent. But then after that, the production got better the next following season, but then it just fell off a cliff.
Skyler on our text line says, Chig's rookie year was so promising that his second season was a Hall of Fame bust-level disappointment. I'm with you there, Skyler. I bought into the Chig Okonkwo hype. Chance Warmack again. Coy in Clarksville says, Justin Hunter, he was one of my two submissions. Let's go to Austin on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Austin, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, man, I don't know if you guys maybe discussed it. I kind of got late in on the discussion, but Kyle Phillips, oh, my God. When I seen the offseason.
Oh, clip, that's a good
Kyle Phillips has been a popular choice.
Oh, listen, like the route running and everything, and then like the little one-on-ones they would do at the end of camp and stuff like that, I thought we had the next, Cooper Kupp. Man, I was all the way by then. And then the Giants, if you remember the Giants game, he had like 6 catches in that game. Like he was getting
first
open. But he just could never find the field because he was always hurt. But that's all I got.
Thanks, Austin.
And he got hurt in that game.
And he fumbled a lot too, right?
He
fumbled a lot in the return game, if I recall correctly.
He fumbled too many times. They cost them big. So
yeah, Kyle Phillips was a popular suggestion. I mean, look, this is one we've had a couple of texts to this effect, and I don't think they're wrong. Will Levis is probably on this list too.
I thought about it too.
You can't help it if you're the quarterback.
Yeah, you look at what he did the previous season, you're like, okay, this is gonna be great. And then
we've covered that topic at length.
Then that happens. Yes.
One texter, Taylor from Bellevue, says, I'm old enough to remember the Taywan Taylor hype. We've mentioned Taywan Taylor. He absolutely is a good choice. Adoree Jackson is another popular name that we've received.
Adoree Jackson. Yeah.
Adoree.
I think Adoree Jackson is still in the NFL. So he's
not. Is he in Atlanta?
He was with the Giants for a while, wasn't he?
He was with the Giants.
He played for the Giants for a long time.
Is he out west?
He was with.
He was not a bust.
I was looking at Taywan Taylor. Let me look at Adoree Jackson.
I don't think Adoree Jackson was necessarily a.
He was with. He's been with the Giants for the past 4 seasons.
So he's still with them.
Yes, he was at least in 2024. He was.
Okay.
He's listed with the Eagles now.
Yeah, I think he's a solid defensive back, and I think he falls into the category of he was a first rounder.
Yes.
So there was an expectation level, especially because he came in. The hype was as a return man. And he had some bad moments as a return man for the Titans. He had a fumble in the rain on one of the gazillion Thursday night games against Jacksonville. Do you remember that one where they just had a nightmare? Nothing went right. And eventually, just like last year with Jaquan Jackson. And then we just mentioned the same thing happened to Kyle Phillips. Mm-hmm. They kind of got fired as the return guy because they just couldn't trust him to catch the ball. Too many bad things were happening.
One texter says Bishop Sankey. He was on my list. Looks like Chase is in
studio. Yes.
Chase
got,
has
Chase?
One for us.
Oh,
D-Mace,
the suit is
what
in.
About
He's
a guy that was
loaded.
Drafted the same year as you, Joey Kent?
Oh, wow.
I have no recollection of Joey Kent.
Second round, right?
Yeah, no. Yeah, second round in the 97 draft. Even being there, and watching it all happen, I don't understand what happened, honestly. Even watching it, because it's not like, Joy was, he wasn't good in practice and it just, for whatever reason, it never happened. It was like, he started off as the, because they drafted him in the second round in 97, so they wanted him in the plans. And I think after that year, then they draft Dyson. I think he became the forgotten guy. Well, all of us really did, but he can never do anything to work his way back up, you know, in front of everybody else for whatever. And then he wasn't a returner either. He wasn't a returner, and he played special teams. He played special teams, but I think he was a gunner, and he was one of the guys on kickoff. But for some reason, it just never happened. Like, he didn't get injured. Nothing. It just, for whatever reason, it never, and I never understood. Nobody understood why.
The Titans, for some reason, had bad luck with second-round pick wide receivers, except for one, and then they traded him.
Yeah.
Justin Hunter was my original submission, Chase.
I think there's a parallel between Kent and Justin Hunter, and mm-hmm. Joey Kent was a hero for Tennessee, catching passes for Peyton Manning. So there was more hype because of that, because that was the
you
hype.
Have the Tennessee factor.
Well, he won a national championship the next following year.
The Tennessee factor adds a huge amount of hype on top of that. Some other choices on our text line quickly. Chris Brown, Andre Wolfolk, Kenny Britt.
Now, Andre Wolfolk is one.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Now, Kenny Britt, no.
Kendall Wright was another one.
What was the name before that?
Chris Brown.
Chris Brown, not really. He had a 1,000-yard season. Then he came back with 800 yards. He just never was able to sustain anything. And he got hurt, too. Chase is telling me he got hurt. Because I only played with Chris 1 year, I think. Maybe two.
Chris Brown was a good player, I think. 2 years.
But Andre Wolfolk was a first-round pick in 2003.
I'm going to tell you a quick story about that one.
Please.
Listen. When they drafted Andre Wolfolk, first-round draft, and I think the late, great Floyd Reese, if he was here today, he would agree with me. He's their number one. He's their first pick in the first round. DB out of Oklahoma. 6'1", shut down. I mean, he got everything. He was the man in college. I played against him while I was at Michigan State when he was in Nebraska. No, I'm thinking of another guy. But he was a shutdown corner in Oklahoma. The minute he stepped on the field here and started playing, we knew exactly he wasn't that guy.
How'd you know?
You just saw it, man. If he was drafted later on, then okay, you can kind of say, okay, we can develop. But he was the first round pick, and when he stepped on the field, everybody knew. Like he's not a number one DB. He's not, and he never became a number one DB.
No, he was a very disappointing guy, because he was drafted right after you. Wasn't he drafted the year after you went to the Super Bowl?
He was drafted in 2003.
Yeah, he was drafted in 2003. So
2003. So you guys were a really good team trying to stay on top.
Exactly.
That time.
Yeah, he never did. I mean, the kid never saw the field, really, honestly, man.
Nope. It never made an impact.
Yeah, it was. I mean, he played four seasons here, but a lot of it he dealt with injury. He could never stay on the field. And, I mean, he was one of those guys that, what he did in college definitely couldn't translate to the NFL.
615-737-1025. Excellent participation, everybody. Thank you so much. And I can't wait until we do this exercise next year and the text line is flooded with Xavier Restrepo. Remember Xavier Restrepo? That was fun. 615-737-1025. We will switch gears. Coming up next, Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL insider, who is live on location in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, covering the Stanley Cup Final. We will speak to him coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. 1025-1063, The Game.